Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Yes, hello, good morning. Welcome. Come on in. Grab a seat. Stand up. If you're walking around, keep walking, whatever. Glad you could be with me. It's me, Jesse, here on behalf of Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people, and other Coast Salish peoples. And I'm very grateful to be able to do so. This morning, the land, the place we live is looking particularly beautiful, frosted. Finally got some snow up on the tops of the mountains, and it's chilly. Brr. Not looking forward to the apparent double-digit negative temperatures coming our way over the next couple of days. Today on the show, bunch of different stuff. Some talk, a organizational profile, some arts listings, and of course, as usual, a little bit of music. We are going to start with music, as we often do, and with local music, as we so often do. The first track I'm going to play for you is by Kim Wardle, who actually, you know what? Let's circle back to Kim Wardle. That's a bit of a tease. Kim Wardle is a wonderful hip-hop, R&B, pop musician here in Coast Salish territories. But we're going to go with a different local artist to start things off. And this is from the record Between Dreams by Frankie. This track is called Cruel, and it's great. So enjoy this, and we'll be back right after.
Nothing to say.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. There's nothing fun about living through an extreme weather disaster, but to help kids and families stay safe in an emergency, FEMA and the American Red Cross have teamed up to make disaster preparedness a game.
If children grow up understanding the importance of disaster preparedness, they'll grow into being prepared adults.
Aaron Levy is the Director of Individual and Community Preparedness at FEMA. He says the free printable game is part of the Prepare with Pedro campaign. It's a preparedness education program with storybooks and activities, starring a cartoon penguin in a hard hat named Pedro. In the game, players match cards naming different types of hazards with cards describing how to stay safe during those events. For example, never play in floodwater. It also teaches kids about things their families can do to prepare for a disaster, like making a family evacuation plan.
I have an 11-year-old, and I know when she comes home very excited from school and wants us to participate in something, it really gets our entire family excited.
So he says getting young people engaged in the basics of emergency readiness can also help inspire adults to prepare for increasingly extreme weather. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Still Jesse here with you. And you just heard, Climate Connections. Nice little bit of news about, well, maybe not nice news, but news about climate change and efforts to abate and adapt. And before that, you heard a track by Frankie from their record Between Dreams. That was called Cruel. Are you looking for something to do this coming weekend, tonight even? Well, you're in luck, because it's time for Arts Listings with me, Jesse, and you out there listening. Happening tonight, well, an exhibition called Morning Star at the Sydney and Gertrude Zach Gallery is open from January 5th to February 7th, but the opening event is tonight, Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. Inspired by mysticism, magic, surrealism, astrology, and tarot, Rosamund Bordeaux presents Morning Star, the fourth installment in her ongoing project, The Denise File. The enigmatic Denise becomes increasingly more real through artistic interventions, but by the same process of invention is paradoxically more fictitious in this work of serial detective fiction written through physical space and material. Serial detective fiction written through physical space and material. That sounds fun and right up my alley. Drawing from the line and circle iconography of Aramaic amulets that were used for healing and protection, Bardo has created a series of hardwood sculptures that recall elements of furniture and domestic architectural features such as banisters, doorknobs, or table legs, resembling molecular structures including that of salt, NaCl. These constellation works mediate the cosmic and the inframolecular through the everyday. So that is at the Sydney and Gertrude Zach Gallery. That's tonight, Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. is the opening event. Go check that out. I will let you know exactly where the Sydney and Gertrude Zach Gallery is, because I don't know about you, but I'm not exactly certain where that is. But it is in the Jewish Community Center of Greater Vancouver, which is, we'll circle back. I'll get that location for you after I let you know about, are we there? Hours and location. Here we go. We are still looking for the location. 950 West 41st Avenue, Vancouver, BC, the corner of Oak and 41st. That's Morning Star at the Sydney and Gertrude Zach Gallery. 950 West 41st Avenue. The next thing I want to tell you about happens tomorrow, Friday, January 12th at 7 p.m. It's at the Roundhouse Community Center, which is just right downtown in the sort of Yaletown area of Vancouver. Dog Rising comes together like a polyphony of pulsating bodies. Choreographer Clara Fury turns her attention to the way sound vibrations penetrate the bones, the way our skeletons absorb shocks. Chiarex, an architecture of pleasure. The trio is inhabited by empathy and acute attention to the energy of the bodies. So, if you want to see some interesting dance, Dog Rising at Roundhouse Community Center, that's tomorrow, Friday, January 12th at 7 p.m. You can go to plasticorchidfactory.ca/dog-rising if you want a little bit more information. And the last thing that I want to tell you about is another exhibition that opens tomorrow, Friday, January 12th, runs until February 16th, but the opening event is, again, tomorrow, Friday, January 12th, from 5 to 8 p.m. So you could even pair this with Dog Rising at the Roundhouse Community Center. Catch the first couple hours of Summer Song at Martha Street Studio. Working within a multidisciplinary practice reverberating between art making and music making, Shogo Okada from Quebec explores playful visual expression through the print works in Summer Song with intuitive, empathetic consideration. Building the exhibition from individual motifs the way a DJ builds a set, Summer Song takes its title and inspiration from a Dave Brubeck Quartet song of the same name. With precision and vibrant color, Okada curates a warming ensemble of works that resonate with memories and impressions of summer. From the lushness of a tomato plant in full red bloom to suggestions of an incomprehensible giraffe on a lazy dog day, Summer Song creates an enigmatic view of warmer days. Resisting a linear reading in favor of exploring spatial relationships between each work, Shogo doesn't want you to think too much. Instead, he wants you to feel the rhythm and the relationship of each work, and experience them all like one playlist. For more information, you can go to printmakers.mb.ca/summer-song-shogo-okada. Just printmakers.mb.ca and look for the link to Summer Song. And once again, this is at the Martha Street Studio, Summer Song, tonight, Friday, January 12th, from 5 to 8 p.m. is the opening event, but the exhibition will be open from tonight until, or sorry, from tomorrow until February 16th. The Martha Street Studio is in Winnipeg, so I don't know exactly. Anyway, if you're in Winnipeg, you can go check out the Martha Street Studio, or just go to printmakers.mb.ca/summer-song-shogo-okada, and you can look at the works. Cool. So, once again, Dog Rising at Roundhouse Community Center. That one's in Vancouver. Friday, tomorrow, January 12th, 7 p.m. Or Morningstar at the Sydney and Gertrude Zach Gallery at Oak and 41st. That is tonight, Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. Okay, let's do a little bit more music now that I've talked to you for a little bit. This is another local artist who came to my attention performing at the Victory Square Block Party in 2023. CJSF partnered with CITR to do the live video stream of this live concert event in Victory Square at Hastings and Cambie in Vancouver. And we've been doing that for a little bit. And I was overseeing the video side of things, and so got to watch the whole show, and I was really taken by Masank, who we will be hearing from. Just one person with a little synthesizer drum machine and a microphone, live programming all of their songs, really got me excited about the free promo Korg Volca series of little mini synthesizers, which I have since recently bought one of them and have been playing around with it all week. So I thought I would turn back to, I guess, the original inspiration for me to start seeing what these little things could do. And a great track by Masank from the record Once More with Feeling. This is called Naive.
I'm sure you What is up, everybody? This is Danny, host of Next Up, only on, you already know, CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Next Up is a music show that plays everything new and engaging that I happen to come across during the week, focusing mainly on hip-hop and R&B and electronic music. Next Up is no stranger to switching it up with the genre of music pretty consistently. So if you want to tune in for some new and engaging music, everything from hip-hop to R&B to electronic to even jazz, make sure you tune in Thursday 8 to 9 p.m. or for the rerun on Tuesdays at 1 to 2 a.m. I cannot wait for all of you to hear what I have to play for this week. So until then, peace.
Hey, welcome back to the program Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and now I'm going to play you a community profile about the organization Gabriela BC, which is an anti-imperialist Filipino women's organization committed to continuing the ongoing struggle for justice and liberation of all women and for national democracy in the Philippines, Gabriela BC being the BC branch of a larger international organization. And I will let Kay take this away, and then I'll be back afterwards. Enjoy this profile of an important community organization.
Thank you for joining us. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mackie. I've been a part of Gabriela BC, I believe, 5 years now, which I can't believe, but I've been part of Gabriela BC since a little before we launched in 2019.
Wow, that's nice. Nice to meet you, Mackie.
Nice to meet you too.
To start, could you provide a brief overview of what Gabriela BC is and its primary mission?
Yeah, so Gabriela BC is actually an overseas chapter of Gabriela Philippines, which is actually a grassroots-based alliance of more than 200 organizations and institutions of women and LGBTQ plus people in the Philippines as well as abroad. So we seek to wage struggle for the liberation of all oppressed Filipinos, as well as those who identify as women and part of the LGBTQ plus community. So our goal is basically linking women's struggles to the overall struggle against exploitation and oppression, and also understanding the specific experiences of gender-based violence linked to the overall exploitative society.
Thank you for the concise overview. Gabriela BC's mission is truly impactful. Now, moving on to the next topic, what led to the establishment of Gabriela BC?
So Gabriela BC started off as the Migrante Women's Organizing Committee. So there's a local National Democratic Organization, and I'll maybe talk about that later, about what it means to be part of the National Democratic Movement. But they focus on the migrant sector, and they found that there is a need to specifically have a National Democratic Organization focus on women and LGBTQ plus people. So we started as an organizing committee, and we officially launched in May of 2019. And we had the honor of Connie Ledesma, esteemed and famous kind of revolutionary and activist in the Philippines, and now does work for the National Democratic Front of the Philippines in the Netherlands. So yeah, we launched in 2019 and basically have been organizing the Filipino community here, but also showing solidarity to the Philippines and the struggles against the basically three basic problems, which is imperialism, feudalism, and bureaucratic capitalism. And actually had the lucky chance to actually go to the Gabriela National Congress in Manila in 2019, where activists and organizations from all around the world and across the Philippines gathered. So yeah.
Wow, that's an insightful overview of Gabriela BC's origins and focus. Now, let's shift our focus to the main goal. Could you share the main goal that Gabriela BC aims to achieve in its advocacy work?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, I said we are part of the National Democratic Movement. So the National Democratic Movement is the solution to kind of the problems that are plaguing the Philippines. National meaning fighting against imperialist forces like the U.S. or other imperialist forces, as well as democracy, since the Philippines is mainly comprised of peasants, 75%. We struggle for land for the peasants, as well as against fascism. So that is kind of like our main advocacy goal or analysis. We kind of really connect the issues of why Filipino people are here, why Filipino women have moved to Canada or anywhere abroad for a better life. Connecting, you know, kind of the local issues of, you know, why we're here or the things that we have faced as Filipino women, whether that be family separation, having to send money back home, you know, abuse that we face here, and connecting it to why, you know, thousands of Filipinos leave the country every single day to come here. Because you would think that if a country actually was able to sustain your livelihood, you wouldn't have to move abroad.
I see. Your explanation of Gabriela BC's main goal is compelling. Now, let me step into our next segment. How does Gabriela BC make a positive impact on the lives of Filipino women?
So locally, we have done, you know, different educational discussions and events really highlighting, why Filipino women come here, giving history in terms of like why the history of the Philippines is, you know, economically we're not, you know, able to sustain ourselves, or why we can't find jobs and we have to leave the country every single day, to bring basically that awareness and political consciousness. And then globally, we talk about, you know, showing solidarity to activists in the Philippines. It is very dangerous to be an activist in the Philippines, and even let alone, you know, speaking out against the government in a negative light. So we have done things like, you know, calling for the release of women political prisoners, you know, standing in solidarity with right-tagged activists by making statements, as well as, you know, highlighting, you know, the atrocities that U.S. imperialism has caused, you know, the Filipino people and Filipino women, by highlighting the case of Jennifer Lade, who was a trans woman who was murdered a couple of years ago by a U.S. Marine, or former U.S. Marine. So basically really showing and educating people to build that political power and consciousness, and really exposing why, you know, 6,000 Filipinos have to leave the country every single day to find work abroad.
I think the impact Gabriela BC makes is really impressive. Transitioning to our next point, in what ways does Gabriela BC engage with the community and raise awareness about its mission and objectives?
Yeah, so we do a lot of educational discussions. Some of them are on the realities of Filipino migration, talking about the root causes of why we migrate, and why the vast majority of it has been historically, you know, Filipino women specifically that in Canada through, you know, the now different names, but the former Living Caregiver Program or domestic worker programs, or even if we think about the amount of Filipino women who are care aides or nurses here. And so we do other educational discussions on like history, like Filipino society and revolution, that kind of breaks down the history of the Philippines, the problems that the Philippines is facing and the solutions towards that. We also do, campaigns. We have currently right now the anti-fascist campaign, really highlighting Filipino women and activists who have been facing the brunt of fascism by the Philippine government, formerly that of Duterte, now Marcos Jr. Government. So highlighting Adora Faye de Vera, who is a political prisoner and former martial law survivor, who is now arrested again under Marcos Sr.'s son and is facing, dire conditions in her old age in the prison, as well as highlighting queer activists, Ari Soledad, who is part of the Fisher Folk organization, who was and also is a trans woman who has also been fighting for queer rights as well, but has been faced with red tagging and harassment by the Philippine National Police for speaking up for Fisher Folk's rights. So we do other fun things as well. Karaoke fundraisers as a grassroots organization. We also have to kind of fund our work, as well as, working with some of the other national democratic organizations we have here locally.
Wow. So the work your organization is doing is truly diverse and impressive. Now, let's explore some works the organization did